Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle just read. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. That glorious hymn reminds us of the beauty of our sun, the glorious sunny days we've been enjoying, especially this last week. This morning as I walked from my house here on campus over to my study just before Greek class, the sun had risen behind the chapel. The whole world was bathed in light. The birds were singing. The air had a very pleasant coolness. The first thing I had to attend to this morning was the cat wanting to be let out and enjoy the sunshine. The sun is a picture of that greater sun, our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dark night of the grave that first Easter morning. And ever since our baptism, we too have been people who have risen from the grave, from the darkness of sin and from death, and who walk with our Saviour in the light of life. Martin Luther's Catechism, in its section on baptism, quotes these verses from Romans 6 that were read in our text. It encourages us to live each day as people who no longer belong to darkness, but to the new light of Christ. What does baptism signify, Luther asks? That the old man should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And so through baptism we have been crucified and buried with Christ, and now we are risen with him. And as Paul says later in the text, we are grown together with him. We are virtually grafted into him, fully identified with his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's all ours. And now in Romans 6, St. Paul is urging us to turn our backs on sin and to walk in the light of Christ. Romans 6 begins, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not." And so in Romans 6, after five great chapters on justification, on the gospel, Paul turns now to the ethical consequences of our justification, our sanctified living, our leading holy lives as a result of our justification. And then in verse 15, he asks the same question again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. That's the whole burden of chapter 6. Paul is replying to the antinomians of his day, those people who are against law, who think it doesn't matter how the Christian lives. There were antinomians in Paul's day. There were antinomians in Luther's day also, like his student John Agricola, who said that the law belonged in the courthouse and not in the church. The law, the Ten Commandments, should not be urged on Christian people. And there have been antinomians in modern times. The German poet Heinrich Heine, for example, claimed it didn't matter how we lived. God will forgive, he said. God will forgive. That's his business. The German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, at the time of the Second World War, argued against the antinomian Lutherans of his day who held to what he called cheap grace. Lutherans who thought it didn't matter how they conducted themselves as Christians because they were baptized and they were under God's grace. They drew the completely wrong conclusion from their baptism. Baptism, according to St. Paul, is our source, our inspiration for holy living on the basis of our wonderful justification in Christ, on the basis of that wonderful grace. Bonhoeffer said that many evangelical Christians of his day thought God's grace was cheap. They didn't realize how costly and how precious it was. They weren't sufficiently aware of how precious was the blood of the Lamb slain for them. We hear this theme coming through beautifully in Corinthians. Twice in Corinthians, Paul says, you were bought with a price. Bought with a price. Only two words in Greek, actually. You need about six in English, but two words in Greek that give us both our justification and our sanctification. Bought with a price. Bought by God's grace. And what are the implications? We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to the one who bought us, and we live for him. And it's the same here in Romans 6. Because of our baptism, we live for him, the one who died for us and rose again. But coming down to even more modern times, in our own day, some of the leaders of the Seminex movement and those in other churches, leaders in other churches too, have denied what's known as the third use of the law. They admitted the first use, that the law is a curb on wicked men. And the second use, that the law shows us our sin, the law is a mirror. This they agreed to, but they denied that the law, the Ten Commandments, were meant to be a rule and a guide for our daily Christian life. But this position is refuted very clearly by Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments, which has a strong third use accent. For example, the sixth commandment, we should fear and love God that we may lead a chaste and decent life in word and deed, and each love and honour his spouse. This is clearly meant not just to show us our sins, our shortcomings, but to urge us really to love and to honour our spouse. And we could say the same of all the commandments. But then what about the New Testament itself? And St. Paul himself. A Finnish pastor friend of ours in Papua New Guinea used to say that the third use of the law can be proved just from one very short text of St. Paul, which is clearly addressed to Christian people. Ephesians 4, verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. And then he goes on to talk about anger, malice, and all that sort of thing. Clearly speaking to Christian people and telling them how they should live and walk in the law of God. In all of his letters, Paul has an exhortatory section where he urges us to live and to walk as Christian people, walking in the light, walking in the sunshine of God's grace, and loving God and our neighbour. We cannot avoid sin and temptation, of course. As Luther said, we can't stop the birds from flying over our heads, but we can stop them from laying nests in our hair. By God's grace, we will not let sin rule, Paul tells the Romans. We won't let sin rule, we will not let sin be king in our lives. We will not give free rein to our besetting sins, whatever they may be, pride or anger, lovelessness, selfishness, impatience, or whatever it may be. Rather, the Christian is someone who constantly fights against sin in his life, inspired by his baptism and God's wonderful grace. And so this morning we thank God for the sunshine of his grace who has shone in our hearts ever since holy baptism and our coming to faith. Thank God we're bought with a price. Thank God we no longer belong to ourselves but to a wonderful Lord. Let's live for him. Amen.